IBC News, the next week is up. We will be getting the news rolling in about 5 minutes, so just give people a little bit of time to roll in. Thanks everybody for joining. As you pop in, make sure you go and hit those like and retweet buttons, get the word out there so people can find the news. Big week out there, looking forward to hitting the news for you guys. Excited to share everything that's going on. As always, we appreciate everybody's continued support of the IBC News platform as we do our best to bring you all signal and no noise. We'll keep it short and sweet, 30 minutes or less. And as always, after the show, we have a tweet storm on the Cleomedes account, our sponsor for this amazing event. And we'll share out links to all the information so that you can read into it and find out for yourself what you think about the news. You know, this is all just the facts. No analysis here, really. Try to keep it pretty simple and straightforward and let people make up their own minds. But you got to know what's going on to be able to do your own research. So we try to take that little edge off of the startup cost for finding things out and get you going on the right direction. And then you can dig in yourself to what's interesting to you. All right. As you guys are rolling in, appreciate your support. Just hit the buttons down there, like and retweet. We'll get some action going and we'll start the news here in just a couple of minutes. Also, a nice reminder, we have recently started a paragraph newsletter, so we will add a link at the end of the tweet storm after the show to all of the news items listed up in one single email newsletter, so you can subscribe on paragraph if you prefer that format. It's a little bit easier to digest everything in one chunk rather than digging through the tweet storm on Twitter, so multiple options. We try to make things accessible for everyone. If anyone has any feedback or ideas on ways to improve, we are open to suggestions. So feel free to hit me up anytime. All right, guys, we're just rolling up on 5 minutes past the hour. So I think I'm going to just dive in and we'll get going, see what's going on out there in the ecosystem. So we've got to kick things off. The IBCRS has released a new update. So Informal Inc. has been building the IBCRS repo, and they have just added a new update that includes some gas cost saving features for users of chains like Solana and Near. So that's a great improvement for our cross-chain functionality for IBC, making things more accessible and affordable. Excited to see what Solana and Near developers start to do with IBC with all this new functionality. We've also got the Harvard Blockchain Conference is hosting several key industry leaders from the IBC chains, among others. They'll be presenting on April 13th and 14th. So excited to see what the Harvard Blockchain Conference has cooking up. I'm sure there will be some really interesting and eye-opening presentations at this conference. On to the Cosmos Hub, we have partial set security. Prop 897 is looking to pass with strong support, 99.6% in favor, with only 0.35% abstaining and over 50% total voter turnout. So this is a pretty strong approval for partial set security, which is definitely a step forward from some of the struggles that the Atom teams have had with trying to get some new proposals moving in different directions. So partial set security is a result of many layers of revision. And it's exciting to see the community really rallying behind it. I think they've probably worked out some of the kinks and gotten something really solid together. So if you have been following along, or if this is news to you, check out the links to read about what Partial Set Security is going to be bringing to the Cosmos Hub. We've also got Prop 895 passed with 52% approval. This was a contentious proposal, but it did sneak through. And it's not the first time we've had a proposal for CosmWASM on the hub. But now that this is passed, it looks like permissioned CosmWASM is finally coming to the hub. Many are rejoicing. Some are potentially not so excited. About 26% of people said no, and 20 whatever's left, like 4%, abstained. So still a strong detractor club, but definitely not a majority. People are moving over to the pro side. So CosmWASM coming to the hub. What will this bring? We don't know, but it is permissioned CosmWASM, so there will be limitations on what can be done with it. That's an important consolation, I guess, for the Cosmos community to be interested in approving this, which makes sense. All right, moving on to Osmosis, we have a really interesting new feature that they have released. Osmosis has is introducing Alloyed Assets. So Alloyed Assets are going to be a governance-controlled bundle of similar assets that will streamline the user experience when dealing with multiple denominations of the same base asset. So in other words, the community will vote on which versions to include in this bundle, but different versions of the same base asset, like different wrapped versions of Ethereum, for example. You know, if you look on Osmosis, you'll see there's like the canonical version of ETH, and then there's all the other versions of ETH that can be bridged in different ways. And Osmosis is going to let community governance control this, but they will be bundling all of these wrapped assets into one single asset called an Alloyed Asset. This is very similar, and according to the Osmosis team, that it was inspired by how Circle is managing this on Coinbase. They're doing a similar kind of bundling in a more centralized fashion. So Osmosis, staying true to their roots, is doing the decentralized version of this, but it definitely seems like something that could improve the user experience by minimizing confusion about all these different versions of what seem like the same asset. It's kind of, I would call it a version of abstraction, token abstraction. I don't know what you call it, but it definitely is confusing for many people when they look at a DEX and they like Osmosis and they see, you know, 12 different versions of USDC and ETH and BTC, and they don't know which ones they want to use. So this bundling could be good. There are potentially some risks associated with that. So governance control is going to really be a big factor in managing that risk. So definitely an interesting proposal. Looking forward to seeing more discussion around this. This is the first that I've come across the Alloyed Asset concept. So I'm not sure what stage of the process they're in, but definitely dig into what's going on with the Osmosis Labs team and what they've got cooking, because Alloyed Assets seems like a pretty big change for the ecosystem. All right, moving on to Juno, we've got Prop 345 is live for approving the migration of control of the 3 million Juno that is in the Osmosis Juno, ST Juno pool. So this is currently being held by a multi-sig per the previous proposal that approved it. But now that the operations sub-DAO is in full effect, they are proposing to migrate control to a special sub-DAO underneath the operations sub-DAO, which is in line with several other motions that have been proposed to Juno post the establishment of these more advanced hierarchical kind of authority structures on Juno. So this is just a continuation of that evolution of, you know, decentralized authority on Juno, putting the funds in the appropriate decentralized control mechanisms so the community has appropriate oversight over it as intended. Juno once again leading the charge with on-chain decentralized community-led governance. Nobody does it like Juno. All right, so moving on to Stargaze, we've got Prop 266 has passed, which is a potentially fairly groundbreaking new on-chain activity. So Stargaze is leading the way utilizing TimeWave Labs new on-chain covenants to empower native community governance to control an account on Neutron, removing the need for a standalone multisig or other centralized proxies to maintain funds on the other chain. So we've seen this a lot all across the history of IBC chains. Whenever there's some sort of cross-chain partnership or a community fund that's hosting liquidity on some other chain, we always have to spin up some multisig or some little council of elected individuals that centralizes some authority over the maintenance of that liquidity. And TimeWave Labs has developed these new covenants to provide a more decentralized approach to managing cross-chain accounts. So Stargaze is the first to jump on this. They have now created their account on Neutron. So their community governance is able to directly control that account on Neutron. Using native chain governance on Stargaze. So very interesting, super powerful. I'm really excited to see how this plays out because this is a massive problem for a lot of the ecosystem trying to figure out how to maintain proper decentralized control of these massive amounts of funds. I mean, we're talking about liquidity provisioning. So that's a very large amount of funds that are being controlled by generally, you know, a small group of people. And that's not a bad thing, but oversight is important. And that's the whole purpose of progressively decentralizing. So this new feature from TimeWave, very interesting. Excited to see how it plays out. Could open up the doors for a lot of really powerful stuff across IBC. On to Evmos, we have them partnering with LavaNet, our favorite decentralized RPC network. So if you are engaging on Evmos, definitely check out the Lava RPCs. They have incentive programs going on right now for utilizing their decentralized RPC network. So check that out. See if you're interested in switching up your Evmos RPC. We've also got, speaking of groundbreaking new DAO activities, we've got Gata Hub launching on Dimension. So they are going to be introducing their own standalone yield hub as a roll app chain on Dimension. So if you're not familiar with Gata Hub, they have been actively building in the Cosmos ecosystem for a very long time, utilizing NFTs to build incentive programs and build a community around their product. And so they are migrating now to a rollup chain on Dimension to centralize their yield hub and kind of move their project to the next level. So exciting to see how Gata Hub will be utilizing rollups to move their DAO and community into the next evolution of decentralization. Other exciting news, we have Archway there's a proposal up for discussion on the Archway community for incentivizing the Arch S-Arch pool on Nitron from Demex. So Demex is looking for support from the Archway community to deepen some liquidity incentives on the Nitron platform. We've also got Kujira coming up with a fantastic update on their roadmap. So if you are a Kujira fan and you want to see what's coming down the pike, definitely check out this roadmap. They go into some pretty good details on where things are going next for Kujira. And On to Migaloo News. We've been reporting on this one for a bit, but it is now officially live, the Restake DAO. So DAO treasuries are hitting their airdrops first, and next rolling out after that will be individual users. So exciting to see what White Whale DeFi has got cooked up with the Restake DAO. They are revolutionizing the restaking industry. So let's see what happens with that. Check it out and, you know, see how you can get engaged with the Restake DAO. We've also got Andromeda tapping into trusted data markets for their on-chain operating system utilizing the Checked network. I was excited to see this partnership come into play, as everyone who's been a longtime fan of IBC knows, IBC News knows. I'm a fan of what the Checked network is building. Not a whole lot of products out there building trusted data markets. So definitely a unique offering in the ecosystem there. And Andromeda is very wisely tapping into that. So excited to see what Andromeda has cooking up with trusted data markets through the Checked network. Also got more DAO news. So Corum is hosting a DAO Builder event on April 12th. So they're going to be talking about smart tokens and on-chain governance and how developers can build with these tools on Corum to empower DAOs to have even more functionality. So something very near and dear to my heart. I am very interested to see what Corum has got cooking up with smart tokens and DAOs. On to some DPIN news. We have Sentinel improving their subnet distribution. Okay, so Sentinel is capping nodes to five nodes per subnet. Sorry, they're capping their subnets to five nodes per subnet. And the purpose of this is to provide more resilience against like large-scale geo-blocking. So if a subnet has a ton of nodes, it becomes a target to easily block it. And so Sentinel is improving their resiliency by creating subnets with capped nodes to create more distribution across more subnets. Now, this is just step one of their process. They are planning to introduce new subscription tiers based on different user needs. So depending on the resiliency that I guess users need for their VPN service, they can subscribe based on that. And so that'll provide more flexibility for users as well as more robust service for people with more intense, you know, VPN needs. So exciting to see Sentinel really continuing to push the envelope with decentralized VPN services and making sure that their product actually is relevant and useful to people who need it. On to additional news in the DPIN world, we've got our favorite Akash. All right, so Akash has a proposal up right now from Overclock Labs, the development team behind the project. They have agreed to acquire the Praetor team. If you've been following Akash, you are familiar with what the Praetor team is building. They've done great stuff for the ecosystem. And in an effort to maximize efficiency and effectiveness, Overclock Labs and Praetor have come to an agreement on merging teams. So Prop 255 is up right now to approve the community pool spend for supporting this acquisition. If you want to read a little bit more about the details, they've got it all laid out in the proposal. So we will give you that link after the show, and you can dig in and see what exactly does Overclock Labs acquiring Praetor mean for the Akash ecosystem. On to other news in the DPIN world, we have Kudos literally going to the moon. They have recently partnered with Copernic Space, joining their 2024 space mission. It sounds like fantastic news headlines, but that is what is happening. So if you are interested in finding out why Kudos is wanting to go into literal outer space, follow up after the show and read up about the Copernic 2024 space mission. This news also ties into some Akash news, which we're always excited to share, but Jackal Protocol is sponsoring a track at the second Akashathon. with rewards for submissions that utilize both Jackal and Akash. So if you've got ideas that you would love to test out, jump in on the Akashathon and get some extra bonuses from Jackal by utilizing their storage network. Well, let's transition for the last couple of minutes here and talk about some DeFi news. So DYDX has received community approval to stake part of their treasury. So interested to follow along on this and see what direction this goes. But DYDX is planning on staking part of their treasury and feeding that yield back into the treasury via buybacks utilizing Stride. So just to cover the basis on this, when you stake DYDX, you get USDC as a staking reward. And so they will be using that USDC reward to perform DYDX buybacks and then put that DYDX back in the treasury. So yeah, definitely a pretty big update there that will have some downstream effects that need to be analyzed. So if you've got thoughts on that, definitely check into the discussion from the DYDX community and see what the team is planning on that. But could be potentially a pretty big step forward for the DYDX community treasury. We also have Persistence with quite a few proposals live right now. So Prop 89 is live to fix an incentive error for this month. So somehow, apparently, 35K P-stake rewards were inadvertently allocated to a shade pool instead of the intended stars pool that it was approved for. So the team is volunteering to pay for this mistake from their own resources, and they will be leaving the extra bonus in place for the shade pool bonus to all shade holders that are utilizing that pool. But they will also place the appropriate rewards on the stars pool as was approved by community governance. So kudos to Persistence team for taking the hit on that mistake. Hopefully they've analyzed their internal process to identify how that mistake was made. At the end of the day, you know, we talk about how automation and all the things that blockchain can do, but at this stage in the game, it's a lot of human beings typing in things on keyboards and clicking buttons. And so there is definitely the opportunity for mistakes to be made. So that's where procedures come into play. Teams that are highly effective have very clear procedures that have checks and balances to make sure mistakes aren't made. Anybody who's in the Cleomedes community knows that we never make mistakes because we have bulletproof procedures. Ha ha. Yeah, we make all kinds of mistakes. It happens. It's tough. But the important thing is that you learn from your mistakes and establish a better procedure moving forward. So let's hope that the Persistence team, I have complete faith in them doing so, by the way. Persistence team is very thorough. I was surprised by this mistake, but good for them for owning up to it and not making excuses. They owned it and they're fixing it and they're going to move forward. So additional props on Persistence, we have prop 92 and 93 are both live right now for instantiating superfluid LP on Persistence. So prop 92 is for adding the superfluid contract and prop 93 is for establishing a new XPRT, staked XPRT pool. And so what this is going to enable is for people to liquid stake their already staked XPRT without having to unstake or unbond. So you can instantly transfer staked XPRT into liquid staked XPRT once these proposals go through. So that's pretty exciting news for Persistence holders who are staking XPRT and looking forward to jumping into the liquid staking game without having to lose, you know, that downtime of the unbonding period, which is an essential part of, I think, liquid staking protocols. Nobody wants to have to unbond in order to gain access to liquid staking. So that is the news. We are coming in on just under 30 minutes, as promised. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. I appreciate it. And don't forget, on your way out, hit that like and retweet button, and keep your eye on the Cleomedes Twitter account for the subsequent tweet storm. We'll give you all the links to this information. It'll help give you access to the details that that I missed. You know, there's a lot more to this than I can cram into 30 minutes. So I like to provide that information and give everybody access to the actual facts. And don't forget, next week we will be back with another episode of IBC News. Thanks everybody for joining in, and we'll catch you next week.
There's this principle in Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web 3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code. And now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you bleeding out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yambato and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Is it really worth all the effort? Is it really worth all the fighting? The drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
We started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out, teaching all these plebiscites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits, all you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, the shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we'd call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile, over here, rewiring features, more critical thinking, huh? Less knee-jerk, more evolution, less shitcoin preachers pretending to be teachers. Y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rat fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts, and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you, you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the bitter end. And sometimes it's better to just like move on.
Channel spaces.